Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's good to see you. It's wonderful to be with you. You know who I am, Kristen Phillipson, Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care. I'm saying it for folks who might be joining us online. I think as I look around, I'm recognizing everyone who's here. You know that I am joined in leadership each week with Dr. Sarah Svensson, our wonderful music director. Our choir is among you. And together we are a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in this neighborhood and around our city. And we gather to learn, to grow, and to serve. We are proud to be an affirming congregation representing a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, and backgrounds. Everyone is welcome here. The Anishinaabemowin place name for the Lower Don River in the ravine just below this plateau is Wasayish Kodaneosh, which means burning bright point. And it has been a center for human flourishing for many, many centuries before we designated ourselves with that name, a place where many Indigenous peoples have gathered to hunt, fish, trade, cultivate wild rice. We acknowledge this land, a site of human activity for over 15,000 years. It is the territory of the Huron-Wendat, the Petun First Nations, the Seneca, the Mississaugas, and we are grateful for the opportunity to gather here, and we pray to respect and honor the treaties between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples that govern this land. I want to invite you to peruse your bulletin and the events that we have going on. Most importantly, want to draw your attention to the third in our lecture series coming up this Tuesday at 7 p.m. It's on the science of memory and how we remember. This lecture series is in partnership with York University's Glendon College. And so far, all of the lectures have been amazing. I attended the last one and came away thinking thoughts I hadn't thought about, and absolutely had my mind expanded, was able to do all that with a glass of wine, brought a friend. I encourage you to attend this next lecture. Wednesday morning, we're starting just for 6 weeks, a early morning meditation group meeting here in the sanctuary. This is silent meditation. It is guided and it's open to all. And finally, coming up this week on Thursday, this is the last in my series of little day-long mini-retreats called Changing Seasons. This is our spring version. If you are looking for an opportunity just to take a pause for a few hours in the midst of your routines and your daily life. If you are perhaps longing for just a moment of reflection and a chance to center yourself and to ground yourself in the wisdom of spring, then I do invite you to consider attending this day-long retreat. I guarantee you will love it. I think that's it for me in terms of announcements. So with that, I'll invite us to stand in body or spirit and join together in our call to worship. This day, like every day, has been created and given to us by God. Whatever our circumstances are, we trust that God is with us. So we will pause and give thanks for this day. Let us worship God. We sing together. Morning has broken.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all. And I invite you to turn to those who are around you and extend the peace of Christ, saying, "Peace be with you." Please reach out to someone you haven't met and welcome them. I light our Christ candle as a sign and the symbol of the warmth of community where two or three are gathered. Jesus tells us, "I am there." And I invite us into a moment of silence to center ourselves, to pause, to take a breath, just to be here and now. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, to teach us and inspire us. Direct us back to your way when we're on the wrong path. Bring us to our senses. Spirit as truth, knock us over. Get our attention. Anoint us and send us forth. Even when it seems the world tunes love out. Spirit as nerve, hold us up. Steady us as we try to figure out where you and where love is most needed in our communities. Spirit as discernment, show us your wisdom. Though it can be more than we think we can handle, grow our faith and lead us when we can't find a plan or a way forward. Spirit as breath, nudge us on. Send us teachers who guide us to the way of your love, that we may show others the way. Spirit as advocate, you know us. Be our encourager. Remind us when we forget to have heart and not to give up, for you and your love have overcome the world. Spirit as energy, light us up, empower us for God's work in the world. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to say together, "O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Truly, God's love is enough. It frees us and sets us in motion. Opening our theme this morning, we're going to be hearing this week and also over the coming weeks as we move toward Pentecost from what's called in theological circles the farewell discourse. And this is a special passage in the Gospel of John, and it begins with the last supper that Jesus had with his friends, his disciples, where they gathered. And in John's version of the story, that meal begins with Jesus teaching his disciples about love by embodying servanthood. He begins the dinner by washing their feet. And then he proceeds to talk to them because he knows that he won't be with them very long. And so he's saying farewell and he's imparting all of his teaching. And all of it has to do with love and with being loving. Love one another. He says that over and over again and in a variety of different ways. And so my question for you this morning, and this is just for yourself and your own hearts, is when was a time when someone showed you love? When was a time when someone did some small loving action toward you, and it ended up changing everything? It could be the smallest act of love, and maybe it changed your mood for an entire day. It could be the smallest act of love, and maybe it set your life on a different course. I want to invite you in this moment as Sarah plays to ponder an act of love, big or small, that someone showed to you that seemed to change everything for you. I invite you into this moment of contemplation.
Let us pray. O God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love. Amen. The first reading
is from Psalm 31, verses 1 to 5 and 15 to 16.
In you, beloved, I would make my home, though I be humiliated with guilt. Your mercy and forgiveness will deliver me. Hear me and hasten to my assistance, for you are my strength and have the power to raise me up. Yes, you are strength and truth to me. You are my teacher, my guide. The fire of your abiding love cleanses my heart. Loosen the webs that entangle me, that veil my love for you. Into your heart I commend my soul. You have redeemed me, O love, O ever faithful one. My life is in your hands. Deliver me from the fears which separate me. Let your face shine on me. Hold me in your steadfast love. In these words, may we hear wisdom for living.
A reading from John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. May God bless you to our understanding this reading from the Holy Scriptures.
Thank you, choir. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every summer when we'd go to visit my grandparents, my grandma would open up a conversation to prepare us for her eventual death. She did this for decades. You never knew when she'd start up the conversation. Sometimes it was early in the morning while we were getting our coffee and sitting out on the dock. Other times it might be late at night when we'd gather to watch the moon come up over the hills on the other side of the lake. She'd often give us a quiz. Did we know where she kept her will? Did we know where she'd hid her jewelry? Did we know where she kept all the photo albums? Did we know all the practical things, because she and my grandpa lived remotely, like how to manage the septic tank and the water and the power? My grandma actually left instructions for everything taped everywhere in the house. A small note taped to the back of the bathroom door, a note above the washing machine, notes when you open the cupboards in the kitchen. She wanted to help us remember and help us to cope and to know what to do when she'd gone. Our gospel passage today is part of a long conversation Jesus is having with his disciples, knowing that he is leaving them, preparing them for the time when he will no longer be physically present with them. John writes that Jesus knew that his hour had come. "Where I am going, you cannot come," Jesus said. He had come from God, John writes, and he was returning to God. And so he is leaving his disciples with counsel on how to cope and what to remember and what to do when he's no longer physically present with them. But instead of a long and complicated list or different notes posted here and there, Jesus gives his disciples at their last supper together just one instruction or rule or commandment to follow. "Love one another," he says. As John describes it, Jesus got up during the course of his last meal with his disciples and walked over to a basin, a pitcher of water, and a towel that had been set out for the servants. Jesus picked up these objects and proceeded to wash his disciples' feet. "I have set you an example," Jesus says in John's gospel. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am," Jesus says. "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet," he says. "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you," Jesus says. "So you must love one another. If you love me," Jesus says, "you will keep my commandments." This story and the instruction to Jesus' disciples in this scripture passage are simple and straightforward. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus tells his disciples then and now to love one another. He asks us to testify with our lives to the reality of God's love. We should find ways to make God's love tangible for others, to carry out the equivalent of washing a person's feet, to serve others. "Love one another," Jesus says. The instruction is simple, but it's not always easy. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. Once you begin to compile a list of potential people you might serve, all the people we are called to love, the list quickly becomes never-ending. There is the person whom we can sense is lonely. There is the friend who is moving, they could use a hand. And then there are the people in our circle who are sick, or who are recovering from surgery, or who have just lost someone they love. Could they benefit from our time and attention? And there's the colleague you always rush past on the way to get your mid-morning coffee. Could they use a kind word? And have you called to check in with all the members of your extended family lately? And when was the last time you hosted your friends? And then there's that one child of yours who is struggling, and other people's grown children living in tents in ravines, pushing shopping carts full of their possessions. And there are refugees from places like Afghanistan, living in limbo right now in places like Pakistan, waiting to have their claims assessed, and families all over the world living through the trauma of war in places like Sudan and Palestine and Ukraine. How will we love and serve them? It can be overwhelming thinking about what is ours to do, and what is ours to start, and what is ours to help end. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. Simple. But it's complicated, isn't it? We can wonder at the effect and power of love. Our world can seem like a desert, dry, cracked, parched for love. And each one of us disciples hear about the equivalent of a tiny teaspoon of water. Keep my commandments, Jesus says. Love one another. Simple. But it's difficult, at least for me at times, to trust, to believe that love affects anything. Jesus teaches us that God's love is more powerful, more ultimate, more capable of change than any other power on earth. What does Jesus see that we have such a hard time perceiving? The story John tells in his gospel of Jesus' final instructions to his disciples is ludicrous when you put it in its wider context. John was working on his gospel, his community's memories and stories about Jesus, near the end of the first century, around the year 90 of our common era. And John's community wasn't very big, or powerful, or influential. His immediate audience was not a multitude. He was writing for a handful of people so that they could recall the stories, so that they wouldn't forget the reality that Jesus could perceive. John wrote so that a small group of people could remember Jesus, could picture him with the basin, the pitcher of water, and the towel. What did John think that was going to do? Do you know what people were also working on around the year 90 of the Common Era? The Colosseum in Rome. Do you know the capacity of the Colosseum, even in the year 90 CE? It was built to accommodate crowds of 50 to 80,000. Rome was the power that had everyone's attention. The Roman Empire had influence. They didn't gather crowds you could describe as a handful. Their spectacles could fill entire colosseums. It was, in part, the Roman destruction and pillaging of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem 20 years earlier that gave them the funds they needed to start the construction of the Colosseum in Rome. All the while, John was working on his small gospel about Jesus Christ. Rome was working on the Colosseum. Indeed, the two were completed around the same time, but they are vastly different works. The Colosseum was built to celebrate Rome's greatness and to terrify its citizens. Was there a limit to what Rome could accomplish? The emperor wanted you to say no. The emperor wanted you to be able to say in your heart, after visiting the Colosseum, that there was no power as ultimate as that of the emperor and of Rome. Exotic animals people had never seen were paraded in from territories people had never heard of. If you were a spectator at the Colosseum, you were meant to come away convinced that the emperor's power extended even to life and death. Gladiators fought to the brink, but it was the emperor who would decide with a flick of his hand whether the weaker party was shown mercy or cruelty. The Colosseum in Rome was a monument to what seemed in John's day to be the pervasive reality, Rome invicta, unconquered Rome. Rome had ordered Jesus' crucifixion. But what John wanted to remember in his gospel was that when Jesus knew his time had come, during the course of his last meal with his disciples, he picked up a basin and the pitcher of water that were in the room and tied a towel around his waist and then went quietly from person to person around that table and washed his disciples' feet. Testaments to the reality of Rome were everywhere you looked. Soldiers roamed the streets, arches memorialized battles, chariots thundered. But at his last supper with his disciples, in his last moments with them, Jesus wanted to give his disciples the chance to see what he could see, a reality more ultimate, the reality everywhere of God's presence, of God's love, a reality where a basin, a pitcher, and a towel are the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus testified to the power and ultimacy of love. I can get so caught up in thinking that the louder and bigger and more popular and influential a voice is or a group is, the more ultimate and powerful it must be. But our most ancient scriptures describe the Creator, describe God, as a still, small voice. Jesus knew that it would be difficult for us to do what seems simple, to love one another, to trust the still, small voice of God over the big, booming, loud voices of empire. And so, as he goes to be with God again, he wants us to know that he will not leave us orphaned. Jesus leaves us with the power of the Holy Spirit. I will ask the Father, Jesus says, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, Jesus says. It is not simple to keep going back again to pick up the basin, the pitcher, and the towel. It is difficult. It's hard to try to love and serve when love seems a paltry drop in a vast bucket. Love seems like nothing. But then, if you have ever had someone kneel at your feet, so to speak, with the equivalent of a basin, a pitcher, and a towel, you know that actually, even the tiniest act of love and service can be everything. It can be life-changing for the one who receives it. One night, this was a few years ago, I was feeling down and anxious. "I'm going to lie down," I said. Our youngest, Sebastian, followed me. "I'll give you a massage," he said. He would have been around 11 years old. I told him he didn't have to do that, but he said he wanted to, and he proceeded to massage my arms and my hands. Now, Seb is as human as the rest of us. Don't think we're raising a cherub. But in that moment, "What made you do that?" I asked him later. "I don't know," he said. "There was just something in me." Seb didn't have the words for it, but maybe we do. Maybe what was in him was what Jesus said he'd send to us, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the advocate for love that Jesus asked God to send to be with us forever, to inspire us. You know this Spirit, this Advocate, because the Advocate abides with you and the Advocate will be in you, Jesus says. When we go again to reach for the basin and the pitcher and the towel, even when the list of people who need our love and service is long, even as we wonder whether it's even worth it to testify with our lives to the ultimacy of love, may we become aware of that something within us and recognize it for what it is, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, even the still small voice of God. I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you, Jesus says. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so we pick them up again, the basin, the pitcher, and the towel, servants of love. Amen. Friends, we stand in body or spirit to sing together, Come My Way, My Truth. Friends, I invite you to join along with me in our Eucharistic prayer and our service of communion. This is an open table. All who long to walk in the way of love and justice are welcome to come and be nourished and fed. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of light, giver of all life, source of love. You guide the sun, cradle the moon and toss the stars. At your word, the earth was made and spun on its course among the planets. You breathe life into us and set us among all your creatures in a covenant of love and service. Even when we turn away from you, you do not forsake us. You send your prophets to proclaim your justice, to remind us of your promise of peace, and to call us back to you. Creator, Christ, and Spirit, we praise you for your love revealed to us in Jesus, who walks with us, our wisdom and our way, sharing our joy and sorrow, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and setting the captive free. So it is that we join the song of all creation to proclaim your goodness. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Mighty and tender God, in Jesus of Nazareth, we recognize the fullness of your grace. Light, life, and love revealed in words that comfort and confront us, in teachings that challenge and change us, in compassion that heals and frees us. And now we gather at this table to remember and to be filled with such longing for your realm that we may rise together to turn our worship into witness and to follow in your way. We remember that when Jesus ate with his friends, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This is the cup that is poured out for you. It is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." At this time, we also remember all with whom you would have us share your feast. We pray for all who are in sorrow or in pain, all who are ill or alone, all who live with fear, oppression, or hunger, for all whom the world counts as last and least. We pray for the church and its ministries, for nations as they strive for peace and justice, for all our families and friends. Loving God, we rejoice in the gift of your grace. Remembering Christ's life and death, proclaiming his resurrection, waiting in hope for his coming again, grant that in praise and thanksgiving, we may so offer ourselves to you that our lives proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Send, O God, your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who share in this loaf and cup may be the body of Christ. light, life, and love in the world. In this hope, and as your people, we praise you. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, God most holy, now and forever. Amen. Come, for all is now ready. This is an inclusive feast. Our bread is gluten-free. We invite you to partake. Let us pray. Loving God, you meet us so simply in bread broken, in a cup shared, in the meeting of eyes, in the communion of community. Nourish us and sustain us with this love that you offer us. And help us to go out changed and ready to share simple acts of love with others. Amen. We stand and sing in response, and our closing hymn is in Voices United. It's number 218. It's not listed, but it's 218. We praise you, O God. We go into the newness of this day, strengthened and sustained by our time together as community. We go with the simple and present love of God. We go with the example of Jesus. We go with the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit with us. We go in peace. Amen. And we bless each other as we go, singing, "May the blessing of God be upon you."